And many of you are listening as you work for a company doing your office work, but where is your office? Increasingly, it's at home because of family considerations or as a perk. And for a while, there was concern that these distributed, as they're called, workers would get lonely. Now, researchers say it's the workers back at the office who are the lonely ones. Michael Brad is director of PhDs at the Management and Organization Department at Boston College. He holds the O'Connor Family Chair and sits in another one in an office on campus, where he co-authored the study Contagious Offsite Work and the Lonely Office, the Unintended Consequences of Distributed Work. Professor Pratt, Michael, welcome.
Thank you.
Let's start with that word contagious. What do you mean by that?
Contagion means that it's spreadable. So one thing we found was really interesting is that in past research, they have found that when people were trying to decide whether to work at home or work at the office, their biggest concerns were, you know, work-family flexibility. Can I pick up my kids from school? Work-family balance, or there was something about their job. It was easier just to work from home. So I work with a global company overseas. I have a teleconference at midnight my time. Might as well work at home. We find that the strongest reason, at least the company we looked at, for why people decide not to go into the office because they don't know who's going to be there.
Because what? Because so many people are working at home?
Correct. This is an organization that has a very flexible policy for where you work. And so you, on any given day, you can go in the office and really have very little idea about who you're actually going to see.
Okay. So tell about the impact on the workers who are back in the office, who are walking past these empty desks, as it's described. I could almost hear a violin playing. What is the impact on the worker who's then still in the office?
In short, they're very frustrated and they're very lonely. People go into the office for many reasons, but one of them is they want to be able to talk with people. They want to be able to walk down the hall. If they have an idea, to bounce it off of somebody, to have social time. There's only so much you can yak up with your cat. So people go there to see people, to have the regular interaction. So not only for work ideas, but also to go out to lunch, celebrate birthdays. We spend a lot of time at work, and that for many people, that's their social time.
Well, so some of the office workers still in the office are lonely if they're in an office where a lot of people are working at home. And you say just in general, this is where it affects productivity because they may miss all that interaction, talking to somebody at the water cooler or having lunch together. But that's also where brainstorming occurs. And so there's something missing from productivity.
Absolutely. What we used to call water cooler talk. But even, you know, many of you might have a problem in the middle of the day and just want to bounce something off of somebody. Say, have you thought about this? If you have this problem, if you have to take the extra step of calling them, tracking them down, or sending a formal email, for many people, it becomes too formal. They really want to be able to go down and kind of have that immediate interaction with somebody.
Right. Well, back in 2013, Yahoo's CEO Marissa Meyer ended telecommuting for that company, saying some of the best decisions and insights come from hallway and cafeteria discussions, meeting new people, impromptu team meetings. Speed and quality are often sacrificed when we work from home. We need to be one Yahoo, and that starts with physically being together. Your research seems to back that up.
Absolutely.
Well, so first of all, it's happening. She reversed it. But it feels like with technology, this trend is not going to reverse.
No, I think you can't put the genie back in the bottle at this point. I think too many people have not worked at home. It's become a normal way of life for us. So just to kind of go backwards and say, well, we're all going to work in the office, I think is probably unrealistic for most organizations.
And there are people that have to be in the office. I mean, you have to have people answering phones. What are some of the reasons that people have to be in the office?
So it could be because of the certain equipment at the office, could be that you're customer service or if you're somebody who greets you at the front desk.
Someone who greeted you here today or handling the mail or all the different reasons you have to be here. So start with the people who are feeling left behind in the office. How can they change that feeling?
There are a few things you can do. One is you can try to organize some time when everybody from your team, your group will actually be in the office. So it could be that most people are working at home most days, but maybe you decide Wednesday mornings, everybody's going to be in the office.
Yeah, you say employers have got to create FaceTime because it's the eye-to-eye contact. Despite how much we love our technology, it's the eye-to-eye contact that really does not only make people feel like social animals, but come up with the new ideas and new thinking.
Absolutely.
So maybe have a breakfast once a week. And for the worker themselves, if it's just a cubicle worker, you say, why not book the event room and invite people to lunch?
Yeah, that's something we started doing in our organization. We decided just to have a regular room. If anybody's there, bring your lunch and we come in and you meet new people and you get a chance to talk and hang out.
So if your unit isn't there, meet people from other units.
Exactly.
And what about, I mean, there still is concern that the person who is the one working at home that they might feel like they're being cut off. What's the best way to work at home to make sure your impact is felt?
I think you have to be very conscientious and very proactive. Because people aren't just simply going to see you. You're not going to have the FaceTime. So you have to be proactive, reaching out to people, communicating with folks, letting your manager, for example, know what you're doing, knowing where you're at. I'm not saying constant, incessant emails, but being thoughtful about how often do you check in,
Maybe even say good morning and good afternoon when you arrive and when you leave, like everybody else does in the office.
Absolutely, yeah.
And also, if you're working at home and surrounded by technology to do that, you say it's maybe dangerous to fall prey to the thinking that you can just shoot a what's up to your boss. I mean, remain formal? How would you put it?
I think it really depends on the norms of your organization, but most bosses may not be quite as comfortable with at least the way my teenagers text me. Be thoughtful about what you're saying, have real information in it. To get a couple kind of flip offhanded me, it's probably not going to be all that helpful, but something that actually has some content would be helpful.
And for companies who really do this, I mean, somebody might have one person who gets to work at home or works from another state, but for companies who really have a huge percentage of their workers at home, talk more about how managers can create that team feel that, you know, is necessary for production.
We asked managers who were seen as very successful managers of managing a distributed work group, each one of them said, we actually put in our budget time to fly everybody in and have a face-to-face. That said, we live in a time when we have so many more communication tools where people can do more video conferencing and is a way to kind of see people at minimum and let them know that you're there so you kind of feel part of a unit or part of a team.
So if you can't fly them in, put their face up on a screen.
Yeah.
What are your overarching thoughts about what you found? This idea of lonely workers left behind in the office, kind of happy workers at home, although there's problems there, too, with workers who work out of the home. What's your overarching thought?
I think the biggest thing or the biggest implication of our findings is that there comes a point in an organization, this tipping point, where everybody should be considered distributed. We're all isolated. It doesn't matter if you're at the office, if you're at Starbucks doing your work, or if you're at home.
Or overseas.
Right, because nobody's physically present. And I think this is kind of a sea change because we tend to think of there's a group of people at the office and there's these kind of remote people that kind of work elsewhere. Well, it's a fixed pie. At some point, the more people that leave, the fewer people that by definition are left. And so we need to think of the whole office as distributed, not just the people who are not physically in the office.
Right. If the people in the office are still on email interacting with their colleagues all day, every day, they are distributed too.
Absolutely.
And so what does that mean? What are the couple of things we need to think of?
Number one, pay more attention. All the research now has been on, well, how do we help the people who are at a distance? We have to pay much more attention to people in the office. But number two, the more general sense of isolation. How do people handle isolation? Isolation, at least in our study, we find that people, their networks start to deteriorate, both mentoring networks and information networks. So our productivity drops. And so I think we need to rethink about how our workers, whether they're at home or in the office, or like I said, and maybe a satellite office, how do they deal with this working alone, especially when they're part of a larger team?
There are companies where everybody is far flung and only communicating through, you know, the digital world. And you've spoken to some of these people and they say, this is not for everybody. You have to be really disciplined. You have to get out of your pajamas. You know, you have to be disciplined to do this.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Monday morning, alarm goes off. If you don't have to be at the office and see somebody, it's, you know, the temptation simply to roll over, hit this snooze button and stay in bed. And I think just in general, if you think about all the things you miss, we think about our role as people who work by going in the office. We see our desk, we see our logo, we see other people. It all reminds us of what we're supposed to be doing and the kinds of values and the kinds of behaviors we're supposed to engage in. When we're not in the office, all that stuff disappears. And I think we tend not to think about it until we no longer have it.
Michael Pratt is the PhD director of the Management and Organization Department at Boston College and co-author with Kevin Rockman of the School of Business at George Mason University of the study Contagious Offsite Work and the Lonely Office, the Unintended Consequences of Distributed Work. Professor Pratt, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
And by the way, their work was published in the Academy of Management Discoveries. Who knew? Well, so at Here Now, we do have one distributed worker, our producer, Jill Ryan, who holds down what we refer to as the Connecticut Bureau. I think we have her on the line. Hi, Jill.
Robin! You know, it's pretty quiet and peaceful here, but I do still miss you guys.
Well, Jill, it sounds like we're lonelier for you than you are for us.
I miss the food, really.
Okay, well, we miss you. There, we're connected.